Good start. I'll come to that. Right. Today, we're concluding our three-week mini-series on fellowship, the second of the 12 practices of discipleship program that we're working through over a period of a few years. And this week, we're taking a look at how we might live in biblical fellowship, koinonia fellowship, with one another here in Westcott today. I hope that if you've been here over the past couple of weeks, you've got the message by now that koinonia fellowship, what the Bible, koinonia, the Greek word for fellowship used in the New Testament, embraces so much more than our experience of fellowship in any other context. And that this fellowship isn't limited to what we do here together when we meet in church or any other single meeting during the week, because it's the sharing of life together in an attitude of service and of love, enriched by the presence of Christ. Koinonia fellowship is supported by a blend of different attitudes and actions that enable us to live life together for the common good. And it's those that we're going to look at this morning, what will enrich our life together to lift it into the realms of koinonia fellowship. And this morning we'll look at some of the ingredients that go into and make up koinonia fellowship, a kind of recipe for healthy fellowship. The first ingredient is no surprise. It's love, lashings of love. Last week, we looked at fellowship as our fulfillment of Jesus' command to love one another as he has loved us. An American pastor, Chuck Swindoll, puts it like this. Love is to fellowship what beef is to beef stew. Love is to fellowship what beef is to beef stew. It's an absolutely essential ingredient, and it's the main ingredient. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's famous chapter on love, he goes even as far as saying, I can do the most amazing things in the world, but if I don't act out of love, I'm nothing. If you can't do something in love, he says, then don't do it. It's not worth doing. Love is the very heart and substance of fellowship. It's the key ingredient. But a beef stew without anything else would just be boiled meat. There are ingredients other than love that will enrich our experience of fellowship and give us that taste of heaven we've been talking about in recent weeks. Firstly, we need to stir in some humility. Jesus set us an example of humble service. He set aside his glory and majesty in heaven out of love for us and became one of us, seeking to serve us for our good. And he calls us to humility too. I told you last week, those who are here, about my time during university holidays living in a Christian community. And the first summer I was there, I worked in a team who were renovating a farmhouse for use by the community family. And that was absolutely right up my street. I loved it. I'm a practical sort of guy. I prefer doing things with my hands than just talking to people. And if I can have fellowship with others whilst being busy practically, that's great. So, for example, for me, working alongside others on Malcolm's men's working party evenings has been a good opportunity for fellowship, where whilst using our gifts to serve the common good, we can share a little bit of life together. Well, the first summer I was on community, I was being very practical with my hands, helping renovate a farmhouse. The second summer I lived there, I lived in a different household. It was the household that managed a commercial campsite run by the community. And one of my jobs was to get up before any of the campers were about and clean out the toilet blocks. I'm not sure that I'm well suited to either getting up early or cleaning toilets. And if you asked me to do that task today, it might sorely test my humility, my willingness to serve, my willingness to put others first. In today's reading, from Romans, Paul writes, "Do not be proud. Do not be conceited." The point is that a humble spirit is an essential ingredient to our koinonia fellowship. And then there's an ingredient that is a word that's difficult to translate from Greek into English. It's the word paraklesis. Its core meaning is to draw alongside someone else to bring them the comfort they need in whatever circumstances they're going through. So you've probably heard the word paraclete in the context of talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "I'll send you another," well, different translations put it differently. Some say another comforter. The Greek word is another paraclete. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us to support us through our life's journey. But we're also called to be paracletes and come alongside other people. As the Holy Spirit has been alongside you in your life's journey, so he now calls you alongside others in their life's journey. It's an essential part of our fellowship. As we spend time with one another, be aware that God might want to use you to draw alongside and journey with somebody who's going through a tough time. Maybe he's given you a similar experience in the past so that you can be empathetic with them. It's not so that you can tell them what they should do. Paraklesis is mostly about listening and not talking. But it's so that God can bring his comfort to them through you, so that you can be Jesus' presence alongside them, his love with flesh on. That brings us to the next ingredient, attentiveness. In Rowan Williams' book, Being Disciples, and I don't often read Rowan Williams, I find him, he can be quite impenetrable if you've ever tried reading his stuff, but this book was recommended here about a year ago, and actually it's a very good book on discipleship. Anyway, one of the key ingredients of discipleship that Rowan Williams talks about is being attentive to Jesus. A disciple was attentive to everything their master did. Being consistently alert to their master. We are to be consistently alert to the presence of Jesus with us by his Spirit as he walks alongside us, including as we share fellowship one with another. When you're with a Christian brother or sister, you're with someone in whom Jesus lives by his Spirit. You're with someone in whom God is working to restore his image in them. At the end of our Matthew reading, Jesus said, "Where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." He's with us. He's with us not just here as we gather as his people, but whenever two or three of us meet together, Jesus is there. Are you attentive to his presence in those settings? open to God's presence, open to God speaking to you through them, and them to them through you. Open to God showing you his love through them, and them his love through you. Being attentive to God might mean not rushing to speak, but waiting for what might come next. Being ready and willing to pray with them about something that's been shared. Being open to a Bible verse that pops in your head to share with them. Being open maybe to a word of knowledge or a picture that God might give you for them. I know that's a very difficult thing to share, but we might just want to say, I might be off course here, but does X mean anything to you? Because it's just come into my mind as something which I think might be from God. Or I have a picture in my mind of Y. Does that resonate with you in any way? Attentiveness to what God might want to do through you in that fellowship situation. Attentive to his presence. There are other important ingredients of koinonia that we might mention. Forgiveness is one. We pray regularly, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. How readily do we forgive others? Paul wrote, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Holding on to unforgiveness leads to bitterness, and that only serves to hurt you yourself. More on forgiveness next week, when it's that phrase from the Lord's Prayer is the passage for the day next week. And then there's another ingredient, encouragement. Writer to the Hebrews wrote, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. How might you encourage that person that you are talking to? Maybe an uplifting word at the right moment. An empathetic smile or laugh or a hug. Maybe just simply being there, listening, valuing them. And I've already mentioned in passing two other ingredients, the word and scripture and prayer. We began this series with the Oxford English Dictionary of Fellowship, definition of fellowship, which is a friendly association, particularly between those who share a common interest. Koinonia fellowship, biblical fellowship, goes so much deeper than that, deeper than just friendly association, because we are both in Christ. Christ is there at our centre. Jesus is the very heart of every relationship we have with one another here in church. And if Jesus is the heart of the relationship and if he's present, it's a bit ridiculous if we're embarrassed to mention his name when we're talking to each other and acknowledge him. Let's bring him into our conversations. Share words of scripture that he puts on our hearts. Let's be prepared. After talking with somebody and somebody's just unburdened themselves, say, would you like us to pray, or would you like me to pray about what you've just shared? So there you have it, a recipe for koinonia, healthy fellowship, lashings of love, stir in some humility, serve alongside paraklesis, that drawing alongside, marinate in attentiveness, flavour with forgiveness, enrich with encouragement, and based with the word and prayer. So may I ask how your cookery skills are getting on? Are you a master chef? Or do you need a bit more practice? Do you have all the ingredients in your cupboard? Do you need to stock up a bit? Do you know how to use those ingredients? And are you willing to use them? It's a recipe for healthy fellowship, a recipe that will lead us to that foretaste of heaven we've been talking about. Happy cooking and bon appetit.